Welcome, everybody, to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zekia Robinson, and in today's show, I have Tiffany Renee on, and she's going to be giving her testimony and talking about her book about strangulation of sex. I do want to let you know that this is viewer discretion advised. We're going to be talking about how she got wrapped up in soul ties, emotional ties, mental ties, even sex ties with different people, and how God had to break her free from these strongholds that was built through fasting, building a relationship with God, and so much more. So this is definitely a show you don't want to miss. Let's tune in. Welcome, everybody, to the Faith Journey Journal. Welcome. Today we have Tiffany Renee on. How are you?
I'm great.
Great. Today, y'all, we have a hot topic. So I'm going to put this out here. We have viewer discretion advised. So if you have little ones, this may not be the time where you want to watch this. You may want to pause it, come back to it, or put on some headphones, earbuds, because we're going to talk about a, I don't want to say difficult topic, but we're going to talk about a topic that a lot of people don't touch on. And it's called the strangulation of sex. Okay. And the reason why we're going to talk about this is because there are a lot of people who has been raped. They have been molested. They have been even, you know, touched by family members. A lot of things takes place behind closed doors. And these are things that 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, they grow up feeling these feelings and emotions because of what they have went through. And they don't understand why. Then they walk into being lustful, watching porn, masturbation. They start doing all these different things and they're scratching their heads like, why am I so addicted to this? And so I brought the expert on, Tiffany, to talk about this. She's going to talk some about her journey and like how her book came about, which is called This Is Freedom. Okay. And also the subtitle is From Bondage to Breakthrough. And this is a guide to true freedom. And I have started reading this myself and already got some highlights in here. So I would definitely highly recommend this book, but I am going to pass this over to Tiffany so that she can begin to tell us how this all started with her and how she ended up with this book.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely.
I am Tiffany, and I am just dedicated to empowering women. I'm really, really big on just helping people to come out of bondage that sometimes we don't even realize that we are in, and helping them step into purpose and to the best version of themselves. And so writing this book has been a part of my purpose, has been a part of my journey. I have been through a lot of bondage. I have been in a lot of bondage myself, even in this topic of sex. And so there's a lot of things, like you said, we don't really talk about, even in the house of God. We just don't dwell into it too much. I just remember, like, growing up, you may hear, oh, don't have sex before marriage. And then that's it. No one says why. No one says this is what can happen. This is what can happen in the spiritual realm. This is what can happen to your body if you do it. No, it's just don't do it.
Yep. And that was it.
Not to eat a fresh baked cookie. I find out it's good too. Stop.
That is so true. I was mentioning that in one of my videos. I was telling people, like, I just wish I had the background knowledge of, like, what happens when you open yourself up? What happens when these things happen? Because if I had more knowledge, I promise you, I wouldn't have had as many partners. And I ain't gonna say I probably wouldn't have did it, because we, you know, we test the waters and do things we shouldn't be doing. But I would have had more knowledge and information where I would have felt more conviction from it. And so right. That's a good point.
Yeah. You would have felt more conviction, so you wouldn't probably even do it as much. And I had none.
I had no conviction. I was just out there, like dry, what they call it, like dry clothes.
You don't realize the depth of the decision that we're making, especially now. It's so casual. Mm-hmm. It's so regular. Sex is like breathing. It's like, what do you mean we can't have sex? What do you mean? You're absent? What is that? Like...
marriage, how do you do that?
Normal. And so I just really, this chapter in my book called Strangulation of Sex, I really just wanted to talk about all things sex, whether someone has been sexually abused and how that impacts you. And if you don't stop it, if you don't do the work to stop it from impacting you, it'll continue. You'll have residuals from that abuse in every relationship. It'll come out. And so I just wanted to help people to get out of bondage. What are some ways we can be released from these things? And I asked like pretty deep questions so that you can think about your own sexual journey. Usually how you start sex, your journey of having sex, it affects everything. For me, it did. My sexual encounter, I did love him. He was my first love, but I was super young. I was 15 years old. You know, I ain't had no business to have sex. I ain't even get through algebra yet. But I still went ahead and did it because I loved him. And I kind of felt pressured because he's like, well, it's my birthday, you know. And I had his people like, hey, like, this is birthday. This is what he really wants. And it just like, huh? Me being wow. A junior people pleaser. It's like, okay, well, I don't want him to leave me, and I don't want, you know, I don't want to hurt him. I love him, and this is my first time. I have no experience. I have no guidance telling me that if he really loved you, he would be patient. And so I just let him do it. I just let him do it. And then from there, we just continued. And so now, and then it got so deep too. He was not emotional intelligent at all. I was trying to clean it up, but I'm just going to be, we're going to be very blunt today. He was not emotionally intelligent. And so he was not very, it was awkward for him to be vulnerable. He had a harder exterior. And so I'm like the Disney love girl. I'm like, give me love. Like, I need love. It's supposed to be like Cinderella. And I'm like, I love you. You don't tell me you love me enough. And he's basically point blank said, you should be able to feel it when we have sex. You should be able to feel it by the way I stroke you. That's how you should know that I love you. Mm-hmm. So me taking this in, I'm like, oh, that's how it works. This is my first experience with sex. And so every time we have sex, I'm like, okay. And now I'm hypersexual because I'm not hearing the love. I'm not getting it in any other kind of way. You say, I should know by the way we have sex. So now I want it all the time because I need to feel love. I wasn't feeling love from home. I wasn't feeling love like I wanted it from other sources. You're my source. Only way I can hear I love you is when we're having sex. So we need to do it like several times a day. What's up?
Yeah. I've been there. You know, that was the only time that I felt it, you know, especially with me being in narcissistic relationships, you know, their mood changes during that, you know, during the intimacy part. So it'll make you feel like, okay, well, they actually love me because they're doing this. Yeah. And then, you know, this is more so in the beginning phase. Because when I got towards the end, I was just like, I just don't care. I don't want you to touch me. You can stay in the other room. But, you know, in the beginning part, that is how I felt love. And guess what happened? I started transferring that same thing over to my marriage now. And to a healthy relationship. So I'm just like, okay, if we're not having sex, then something's wrong. Everything okay? Are we good? And that'd be my question. Are we good? He's like, yeah, Z, everything's good. Like, what's the issue? And it just come to like what you just said, like, it's because that's the only way I felt like I was able to feel loved, even though I have a healthy marriage now. And it's like, okay, well, this means he loved me because he's sleeping with me. This means he loves me because he's kissing on me during, you know, intercourse. This means he loves me because he's touching me this way. And that's not really what love is. No. It's a, you know, especially being married, it's a part of showing love, but that is not the main ingredient. That's just one ingredient.
And it should definitely not be the only way somebody shows their love to you.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. If you don't get this fixed, like I didn't get it fixed, you're going to take that into a healthy relationship and you can ruin it because you're going to start not looking at the things that they are doing loving because you feel like this is the only way I can receive it. So I have to get it from this way, even though they're showing it other ways. So I'm glad you're talking about this.
Yeah, or you can end up in real silly relationships because of it. So yep. For me, like, again, I'm fairy tale, I'm naive. And this man has my first and only experience has taught me this is how, you know, I love you. So as soon as I'm intimate with another guy I'm dating, I'm like, oh,
he loves me.
He loves me. We're going to be together. It's going to be great. No, ma'am. Quite the opposite. I may like you a little bit, but I was just trying to hit. I mean, let's.
Yeah.
Real.
That's exactly what he's trying to do. Yeah.
And that's it. And so then now I'm signing myself up for heartbreak, after rejection. And I'm in this cycle. And it's all because I never stopped and thought about, how did my sex journey happen? Why did I start having sex? So even while writing this book, I had to really spell it all the way out. And it was like, wow. So for years on my healing journey, I was like, I really compared sex to love. Mm-hmm. This is what kept me bound when it came to sex. And so when I was in my last marriage and with a narcissist and everything, his sex drive was very low. It got very low after some time. He didn't want me to feel sexy. He didn't want me to feel like, you know, the woman that I am. It was a lot of kind of beating me down. So he didn't really initiate touch. He didn't want to touch me. He didn't want to have sex. And here I am. I'm still hypersexual because this is how I believe that you tell me that you love me. And so I'm not getting that. And so I go into this depression because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, am I not skinny enough? Do I need to gain more weight? Do I need, like, what's going on? Do I need to dress different? Like, all these things. And so then I'm like, man, getting into porn. Let me do a little porn in between, you know, him touching me. And this should kind of help fill that void. Mm-hmm. And man, I mean, I just really got into porn like you wouldn't believe. And it's really, it turns into lust. Like, what I went for, I was just like, let me just try to, because I want to stay faithful, right? Mm-hmm. So stay faithful. Let me show you how the enemy deceives you. So at least I'm not going out there and talking to other men and trying to have sex. Let me just stay faithful by getting my needs met, but through porn. And so I'm watching porn, and it's like, I got to watch it all the time because he can go 2 weeks without touching me. I'm not used to that. I'm used to being touched several times a day. That's not. And so I'm like, I have to do something in between. And so I'm like masturbating and everything. I even sneak and go get a toy and try to keep it hidden. And it got I had to do it so much because lust is never satisfied. You have to.
Please say that again.
Lust is never satisfied. You have to keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. And so I was never satisfied. I went from watching it every few days to watching it every day to I'm taking my lunch break at work to go sit in my car to play with this toy and watch this porn. Mm. I am driving on the way to work with my phone on the steering wheel watching porn.
Wow.
Addicted. It's not just something that men deal with. Women deal with it too.
I'm glad you said that because a lot of people just, I would say a stereotype that it's just men, you know, but the inner healing sessions that I do in deliverance, I have a lot of women that is talking about being addicted to porn and masturbation. And also for the same reason, which with them, they're not in a relationship. They're trying to stop themselves from going out, opening themselves up to other people and trying to remain celibate. But at the same time, they're fighting this masturbation at the same time.
Yeah. And I've learned it is much harder to be abstinent when you are masturbating. Just cut it all off. It's so much harder because those thoughts are just constantly in your mind of having sex and what it feels like. And again, lust is never satisfied. So now you have like a little vibrator and then you go out and get the dildo, a small one. Now you got one that's like this.
Yeah.
It's
never satisfied. Yeah.
Never satisfied. And then after that, how long before you need the real thing? Mm-hmm. You get tired of it. Just like with you're watching porn and you start off on page one, it takes nothing for you to get off. Next thing you know, you're all the way on page 67 trying to find a video that you like. How much are you watching when we don't even realize? It's the culture. It's even with social media. We're just mindlessly scrolling. We're just doing it so much. It just becomes a part of us.
I was going to ask you that, too, because a lot of people believe that they can watch movies that have sex in it. What is your thoughts on that about the eye gates?
Oh, you have to protect them. So for me, I am abstinent. And so there's certain things that, because I fell a few times, I learned from it. I don't beat myself down when I did fall. I was like, okay, how did this happen? This happened because you slipped and masturbated and now like, that man touched your shoulder. Oh my God. You don't handle it. You don't know how to handle it.
Don't touch me.
Listen, boundaries. And so there's certain songs I will not listen to. If there's a song, and I don't care if it's the radio, whatever, it's talking about sex, I can't. Some people can handle that. You have to know yourself, your limitations. I cannot handle that. That immediately brings the thought up, oh, I can remember what I did to that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't. Or I can think about what he's talking about or she's talking about in the song. You all of a sudden, your body start reacting. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right here. What is going on? So I can't watch sex scenes. And I'll fast forward.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
Yeah, I even learned that if it has it in there, this is one thing that God showed me, because I used to fast forward through things too in my earlier years with Christ. And he was like, it's still in there. The movie was still made with lust. That's why you're still having the dreams. Ooh. And I was like, ooh, okay. And so my theory is, okay, what God had told me, if you got to fast forward, it's time to just turn it off. Because the truth behind it is they wanted to promote lust in the first place. So that was the original intent.
That's so good.
Yeah. And so with that being the original intent, got to turn it off. And yeah. I remember one time I wanted to watch this movie with Kelly Rowland, because she has never made movies like that. And I don't.
Oh, exactly what you're talking about.
I don't normally talk about secular people in my in shows, because this is, you know, faith-based. But I have to mention this part. I normally watch movies. She is normally a person who has clean movies. And I watched this movie and I started, was like, oh my God, well, what's going on? I was like, maybe it's just this scene. Let me fast forward through this.
Yeah.
And I immediately felt the conviction in my heart. He was just like, turn it off. Okay, I'm being honest. I didn't turn it off. Because I was like, it's just this one part. Let me just fast forward. Yeah. And then another part came up. I was like, okay, turn it off. And I kid you not, spirit of succubus and incubus visited me that night. Wow. So, and it just took, and I know the reason why it happened is because I gave it an open door when I fast forward through it, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak and said, turn it off. And I didn't. And I, you know, continued watching. And then it came up to that part again. I was like, okay, but here's the thing. I didn't even watch it to see, I just knew it was getting ready to take place and I turned it off. But it's because even because I watched this portion of it that didn't have intimacy, sex in it, it still was made for, that was the purpose of that movie. That was the intent. Mm-hmm. And so I still invited that spirit, even though I didn't watch another scene of sex. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we got to be careful about our eye gates. God is very serious about what we watch, what we listen to, what we allow into our spirit.
Yeah.
Demons have legal rights. And that is a legal right when you're watching their movies.
And we open that door, and the amount of things we open the door to when we engage in sex before when we watch porn, it's like, and I talk about it in the book about how it's a high percentage, like over 90% of serial killers have porn addiction.
I read that, Ted Bundy.
Yep, they have porn addictions, because porn doesn't just, oh, lust is the only demon associated with it. No, lust says, come on, y'all, the door open. He opened the door. Now here comes rage. A lot of people deal with rage and anger. And matter of fact, a lot of people, especially men, when they're angry, that's what they go to. They go to porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know in one relationship, I could tell, you know, just thinking back on it, just because I know like the spirits now and I'm aware of like their functions. Mm-hmm. I remember being in one of these narcissistic relationships and he would literally pull my hair to the point where I feel all this stretched out. It'd be painful for me, but pleasurable for him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, what is this? Like, how is this pleasurable, or, you know, choking stuff? Like, where is this coming from? Spirit of rage, mm-hmm. spirit of anger, spirit of hatred. What's the other, the spirit of, it's like on the tip of my tongue, but trying to intimidate you, spirit of intimidation. And so all of this comes out in the sex part of this relationship. And you're just thinking, oh, they just like rough sex. Nah, that's a demon that mm-hmm. wants to hurt you, you know, and this is making this person feel a drive or an edge from it. One of the things in here I wanted to point out in your book on page 29 was that if the root cause is not addressed, the cycle will continue, because we're all talking about this started with trauma for you. So I wanted to talk about that, because when you didn't address it, is this the cause of it is because of, okay, I didn't address it, now I'm into porn. Didn't address it, now I'm sleeping around. Like, can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, sure. Just, we can go back from how it first started. I never addressed that. I never corrected that until adulthood, until I realized, oh, no, someone can love you in other ways. They can show you other ways that they love you. But it was so deeply indebted into me. Mm-hmm. I still believed it. Even though that I knew better, I still believed it. And it impacted the way I had sex with other people. And then, okay, I've been molested before. And so just that rejection that I felt from other people, I started using sex as a tool. Mm-hmm. If I do it this way, then he'll stay with me. I saw this on a flick. If I do this, I know he'll stay with me. He'll do this. He'll love me the way I want to be loved. He'll stop cheating on me if I just do it like this. Mm. I'm not addressing the real issue. And the real issue is my feelings. What happened to you, sis? What happened to you that makes you think that you can keep him by how you have sex? What happened to you that makes you think that you are a sexual object, that men can just use you as they please? What happened to you? Where is the root? Because if we don't address the root, we're going to keep taking it to every single relationship that we're in. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to just do what worked in the last relationship and hope this one works out. And no, it's so much deeper than that. But for instance, the porn addiction, a lot of people have addictions because they're not getting their sexual desires met. Let me see what else. They may be lacking in certain areas. They may have had something happen to them and they don't want anyone else touching them. And then you become addicted. And what are some of the signs of being addicted? You have intense cravings. It actually creates poor sexual performance. So you mean to tell me that I'm using a toy or I'm watching this porn and my thing is I'm trying to learn how to do something different or trying to explore different things, and it actually results in me having poor sexual performance?
Yeah. You mentioned something about the dopamine release. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because some people don't realize that, you know, when you become addicted, just because you're talking about those addictions and, like, you know, the type of things that take place, one of the things people don't realize is that a dopamine is being released. Can you explain that?
Yes. So this, when you watch porn, it actually literally triggers a dopamine release. And that is like an intense, fulfilling feeling. And it's the same experience, it's the same feeling that someone gets when they are an alcoholic and they get that taste of alcohol that they haven't had for a while. Or somebody is smoking or some type of drugs. You're always looking for your next high. That feeling feels so good. It's so high. You feel amazing. And you have to keep having it. If not, you'll literally have withdrawal.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is this is why you have to keep going, because demons, they don't get satisfied. They're never satisfied. So that's why a person can do what they do. And then next thing, you know, I'll never do this again. I promise God, I ain't gonna never do this again. And then you do it again. And they're like, why do I keep falling into this same thing? But God's word tells us that it's because it's sin that is living on the inside of you. And it's this like a scripture that says, why do I do what I don't want to do when I know what I'm doing is wrong? And it's because it's sin that's on the inside of you. And in order to get rid of that, you need the Holy Spirit. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm just going to go, and I'm not knocking AA. Okay, you know, people go because I do believe it works, but it's just medicating the demon until you go through inner healing and deliverance. That's when true freedom is going to come. Yes. And one of the things you mentioned in here was about dealing with your trauma. You know what I'm saying? I want to read this part if that's okay.
Yes.
All right. It says the perpetrators took something that didn't belong to them. Don't allow them to continue to hold you down and take your heart, mind, and soul as well. You deserve healing. You deserve to experience happiness and to overcome. And I want to read that because when you think about the perpetrator, think about demons. Don't think about the person. The perpetrator is the enemy. He came in. He used the person to take your mind, your will, and your emotions. He's using you now to go and try to fill these desires because of this spirit that entered into you through the rape, molestation, or whatever took place that opened this door. Could be generational curses as well. And when that takes place, now it's leaving you, you still walking in it when you're masturbating, when you're watching porn. You're still allowing this thing to take hold over you. You're still allowing this thing to be a weight on you. And in order to get this weight off, you got to go through inner healing, which is what you addressed in the first part, which is you got to deal with the root issue. Mm-hmm. And that's in anything. If you're smoking addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it is, why did I start this? Where did this come from? Because when you deal with that, then that addiction is not going to be as strong as what it was in the first place. Now you're like, okay, I'm addressing this issue. The demon has to go. Now that demon has been holding that addiction over you is no longer there. Now you have the ability to exercise your free will even the more.
Yeah, and really just asking yourself, how do I feel when I get it? Mm-hmm. At what times of the day am I craving it the most? After what emotion leads to me craving this? Is it every time I'm sad? This? Is it every time I'm angry I need this? Is it every time I'm lonely? So that helps you to be able to better track what's really going on and what the root cause of this could be. You know what I mean? And so I loved the part that you read in the book. I really wanted people to picture, because, you know, if you're being taken advantage of, usually the perpetrator is literally holding you down.
Yep.
Right. To have control over you. And so I wanted them to see that now the bondage, the demonic spirits that came from that, their behaviors, it's literally the anger, the hate, the resentment, all of this is literally holding them down. And now it's affecting you. Don't give these people the right. Don't give these spirits the right, the authority to affect you the rest of your life. To where you're not happy in relationships, to where you're dealing with perversion, to where you're looking at, I mean, I remember one time I'm looking at porn so much, I started looking at different things that I normally
wouldn't look at.
And I'm like, oh my God, am I like this now? Am I, you know, because again, it's not just lust. Here comes perversion. Here comes rage. It's all of these things are coming. And so if you're not addressing what happened and getting the healing that you need, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah. So how did you get your healing and your freedom?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Whew. That took a process, because I didn't realize how much bondage I had. And so there's so many different things I had to tackle.
Okay. So what would be some practical steps if someone's dealing with this type of issue, like they're, you know, they're masturbating, you know, they're doing the porn, they're in a relationship that they don't feel love from, but they only feel it, you know, when they're actually having sex with the person. What was your first step? What is their first step?
My first step was a conscious decision, knowing I have a problem. This is a problem and I need to do something about it. I need to talk to somebody. I need to do research about this. Let me see if there's some ministers that are talking about this, if there's some podcasts that are talking about this, if there is someone licensed that I can speak to talk about this. Let me do some research and find out what's really going on with me. How do I feel? Why am I craving this? Again, asking myself those very specific questions. When is it that I need it? What is the void that I'm trying to fill? Mm-hmm. Is there another way that I can fill that void? Can Jesus fill that void? So I made a conscious decision. I started going on fast and I was just like, okay, God, I want to be in your will. I want to do the right thing, but help me. So I will go on a fast for like 30 days and I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to have sex. I'm not going to listen to secular music. That I'm right. I'm not going to say it as a part of the fast, but I meant like, start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And I'm not going to listen to secular music. I'm only going to eat certain things and I'm not going to watch TV and I'm going to focus on what God's called me to do. And so now I'm starting to work on stuff. And then the second time I did that, the Holy Spirit was like, it's not just going to be 30 days. You know? You're going to do this. And I remember feeling such a peace about being abstinent. This is somebody who is hypersexual. Again, I want it all the time because that is how I feel up. So you're telling me I'm not going to do it again? Okay. But I felt a peace about it. I was like, right. And at the time, I was dating someone, or I was in a situationship. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Still healing from my last relationship. He's healing from his last relationship. We have an understanding. But we were very, very close. Very, very close. We had love for each other, just not in love, but not in a relationship. Both doing our own thing. But that was my person that when I need that fix, I can call you. And so immediately I started thinking, like, he's probably not going to be cool with this. Oh, and he's furious. But I know I heard from the Holy Spirit. I know I prayed, Lord, I want to be in your will. I know I prayed eventually. I want to experience the love from a man of God, a man that you chose for me, not I chose from my lusts and my perversions and the things that I think is good in my head.
Yeah.
So because I'm asking you for these things, okay, you're letting me know this is the process. Be abstinent. Okay, cool. And so I made that conscious decision. And now that I'm abstinent, now I'm seeing the root causes super clear. I'm like, ooh, I feel this way. I'm horny. I really want it. Why do I want it so bad right now? What do I, now I'm paying attention to people's intentions with me, because all of a sudden you don't want to come around as much. You don't want to come around as much because you know you're not going to get sex. Okay, so now I'm dating different. Now I'm really dating with what I prayed for. I'm dating with intention now. Now my prayers line up with my actions, not just, Lord, send me the man you have for me. And I'm still over here messing around with all these other people. I'm like, Lord, send me the one that you have for me. And I'm keeping myself for him. I'm respecting my husband before I even meet this man. I'm respecting God. My body is a living sacrifice now, holy and acceptable. And man, being abstinent and dating has been amazing. There's so many benefits to it. But people hear the word abstinent, they're like, oh, baby, you on your own. I don't
know. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what is people's responses to that when you go, I'm abstinent? Is it easier to wing these men out?
It's definitely easier. I've learned, so even that was a process. Like, it's been a fun journey. It's been such a fun journey, because at first I was like, do I wait till the third date to say it? Because technically we shouldn't be talking about sex that early, honey. I weed people out. I don't have time. I'm vetting people out from the beginning. Hey, so what's your walk with God like? You know, I'm asking. That's one of the things I talk about in the book, the benefits of being abstinent. You're going to ask deeper questions, because without me even coming out and saying that I'm abstinent, if I ask certain questions and I can already tell you your life doesn't really line up with the word of God, more than likely, you're probably not abstinent.
Right.
If you're not doing the basics, you're probably.
It's so crazy that you mentioned those tough questions, because I had just recorded a show about dating after narcissism. It's going to come out this Friday. Well, this is going to air differently. So, but it's coming out this Friday. Okay. And it's crazy because those are the tough questions that I put in there. And I want to talk about that, because when you're a person who's been through sexual trauma, I love the title Strangulation of Sex, because that's what it feels like. This sex is just strangling you.
Yeah.
You're trying to get out of it because you want to be in the will of God. But the thing is, some of the questions that I asked, I'm not asked, but some of the questions that I put in the video was to ask them, what was their relationship with God? What is your prayer life with him? Do you fast? How do you praise and worship? How often are you in the closet with the Lord? And a lot of people are afraid. Like you said in the beginning, you were just like, it was a little uncomfortable. But now you're like, you're trying to wing these people out. You ain't got time to be playing. You're vetting. And I use the same word, vetting. We don't hear vetting enough. And some people may not know what that is. That means you're going through a list of questions before they even take you out.
Yeah.
You don't let them take you out until you know that they're a potential, that this could be someone that you could see yourself with. You're dating with intentions. You're dating with a purpose.
Yes.
A boundary list. You have a list of things that I could accept, things that I can't accept, things that is a need. You're having this already ready. So when you start to hear them, you're also listening through the spirit of discernment, because I mentioned that they'll tell you some things just because it's what you want to hear. Just like, think about it. When you go to about to get a job and they send you, oh, you got to answer these 100 questions. Are you really answering according to what you should be answering to? Are you answering according to so that you can get the job? right? And so that's where the Holy Spirit's gonna come in and say, they lying. They lying.
Tell a lot more by body language. I'm paying attention to what you say, what you don't say. My discernment is so heightened because I'm not distracted by how good this man feels. Mm-hmm. Once you have sex, once you open up yourself to someone, I mean, whoo, we just get blindsided. I know me. I just get completely stupid. Like, those red flags that were like, woo, woo, red flags.
And
like,
it turned colorful.
Look at that little pink, yellow. Just feels so good. No one's made me feel like this. No one's ever done this. And he hits the spot. And so now I know he cussed my mama out, but she shouldn't have said, she shouldn't have got on the phone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't her turn. I mean, sometimes you can meet people that just make you act like a plum fool, mm-hmm. you know, but without that distraction of sex and that physical touching and everything. No, I'm asking questions that to make sure that you align with the purpose that I have. So do you know what your purpose is? I'm asking deeper questions. I'm not just, so what you like to do when you're not working?
Right.
I'm asking much deeper questions because I want to make sure that the whole purpose of courting, are we suitable for marriage? Mm. So I'm courting. I want to ask, does your way of life match with mine? Does it make sense for me to get in the car and let you lead, let you drive me? Are we going the same direction? Or does your purpose have you in California? Mine is in Texas.
That part.
I want to get a letter. So I'm not about to put my makeup on, get my hair done, and do all of this if we have nothing in common, if we're not walking the same path. And so I'm asking deeper questions. Another benefit of abstinence is it prevents you from getting in ungodly soul ties. It keeps you safe from that. It prevents you from being trapped and being affected from incubus and succubus from a spirit spouse, which is something else that I dealt with. A spirit spouse. I didn't realize every time you have sex, you let him come right back on in. Mm-hmm. And now I'm dealing with a demon that when people do want to get close to me, it causes them to not like me anymore. It causes them to reject me. And then now I'm just in this cycle. And I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
Lord, I've done it my way.
I'm tired.
I really want agape love. I want a love that mirrors yours.
Amen.
So what can I do? I made a conscious decision.
Amen.
We can't say we want to lose weight and you never go to the gym.
Yep.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. You want a manly a husband. You want a man of God. Are you a woman of God that can meet his needs? I did a workshop at a retreat one day, and the women loved this. I was like, okay, I want you to take out your notebook and write down all the qualities in a man that you want, all the qualities in your husband that you want, this man of God you've been praying for. Tell me all the characteristics that he is. Okay, so you can write, he's a good steward of his money, he's a great father, all these things. And then the game changed. I said, turn the paper around. Actually, no. Before I said that, I said, so next to each characteristic of that man, put the characteristic of a woman that will match it. So if you put good steward of money, it needs to be the woman is good with money. She's a multiplier. She's also good. You can't be somebody who spends a whole bunch and that won't match if he's a good steward with his money. And so they had to match each characteristics, good father, good mother. You know, each character, whatever it is, honest, whatever you think that man needs, what characteristic does that woman need? And then I asked them to look at all the characteristics that they named and ask themselves, is that them?
Mm.
Can you honestly say that you have each of those character traits that man has? But this is a man that you're praying for, but you're not doing any work on your own to get ready.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's an eye opener. So what was their reaction when they looked at that list?
Whew, doc. Accountability. We had to look at ourselves and say, okay, I'm not, because sometimes we'll be like, that man just gonna love me for who I am. No, sis, you got work to do too.
Yeah, you can't be expecting to have this good man and you're not this good woman yet. It's crazy. You're hitting on topics that I literally talked about in dating after narcissism. But that's one of the things I said in there is to make sure you're going through inner healing and deliverance too, because you can deal with those traumas. And then the other part was like, if you're getting yourself all fixed up and not yourself already, and this person isn't, do you not know what type of like filth that's bringing back into your life?
Yeah.
And I said the same way that you said, now turn it around. Like if they're all fixed up and ready and you're not, like, do you really want to traumatize this person with your filth? Meaning, you know, with your trauma, your baggage, things that you haven't done, because it's going to spill over into the relationship. And a lot of people, they feel like they're ready for dating, but you haven't even got yourself to be that Proverbs 31 woman. You haven't got yourself to be that man of God. So why would God give you what you're asking for just so you can damage his child? Doesn't make sense. And so you're wondering why you're still single. This could be a reason. Stop blaming the devil and blame yourself for not getting yourself in order. Can you just tell us a little bit about what your journey is like now that you, like you said, you've been walking with the Lord, you've been walking in your purpose, you're, you know, minister to women. Like, what is your journey with God now that you're still, you know, withholding yourself for the Lord? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I am still abstinent. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. Was it hard? Extremely, especially at first, because I was still trying to figure it out. Mm. And it was before I put my boundaries in place and figured out what boundaries for me works for me, what I need to put in place. But it's been amazing. I've been able to weed out so many people that just weren't for me. And every time I do it, it's like I'm thinking in my head, if I wasn't abstinent, I would have been sleeping with him. If I wasn't abstinent, we would have been in a relationship. And wow, that could have slowed me down in so many different ways. I know the calling on my life, and just like a lot of women that are watching this now, you know the calling on your life, and you know you are dating, and a man is supposed to be the head of the house, the leader. If he does not recognize or even honor, respect the calling on your life, how is he going to help you push you in that? Like it's bigger than just you want to be in a relationship. What kind of kids do I want to raise? How do I want them to be raised? What if this person is a different religion, am I okay with my kids never going to church or going to learn under that religion? It's so deep, because your decision in your dating journey, it affects generations, you know? And then just being free, I had to fight my way to break through generational curses. Why are marriages in my bloodline not working? What is going on? What did my ancestors fool around with that led me into this situation? And so I fought my way out for my deliverance, literally fought my way out. I'm never going back. It's not happening. But it's been a fun journey. So I don't want to talk about it like it's bad. It was hard at first. Anything that you cut off cold turkey, no more cookies, no sugar, cold turkey.
It's going to be a fight.
It's the best way to go, but it's a journey. It's a fight. But once you fully get that out of your system, you learn to fill your system with other things that help. So if I'm having a hard time and I feel myself, ooh, child, it's been a minute, I think I'm feeling those feelings, I'll go read the scripture. I'll watch a podcast, on a Christian podcast about dating and relationships, something that encourages me and reminds me what is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be with my man of God that God prepared just for me. What is the goal? Why am I not slipping and sleeping with this man? What is the ultimate goal? Do I want to slip for a temporary pleasure, or do I want my forever?
Amen. Yeah, because that can slow you down, especially if you're in this season. You don't know if you're being tested. You don't know. You don't want to slow down the process. I want you to, I guess I could show them. This is her book, right? Again, for those who would like to purchase her book. We're going to also make sure that all of the information is in the description as well, because there's so much more to her book than just talking about the strangulation of sex. I mean, she talks about the poverty of prison. She talks about her journey some in here. So you want to make sure that if you're a person that's struggling, one of the things I realize is when you're struggling in a certain topic or area of your life, and if you watched it this far, this is possibly something that you're struggling with, possibly, because some people just faithful watchers, or viewers or listeners. And so if you are a person who's struggling, then I would highly recommend you get this book, just because it's going to help you along your journey. You want to study what you're going through so you can understand what you're going through. And, you know, it's by her testimony. She's telling you she's been through it, and now she's on the other side, and now she's conquered it. And I'm not going to say she's not tempted from time to time, because that is a natural thing. But at the same time, she's conquered it to the point where she has a strategy in place that when she is tempted, she has this strategy put in place to go to. And that's what you need. You need a plan. You need a strategy. And that's something that I teach, is making that plan and that strategy. Because if you don't have a strategy, a plan, or some boundaries, you're more than likely to go right back in it. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people fail. Mm-hmm. And that's why I failed in relationships with narcissism, going back 6 times, going back 3 times, you know, between the 2 different people. And it's because I had no strategy in place. I just left. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So no plan is a recipe for disaster, and a recipe to go back to your problem. So I appreciate you for coming on and talking about this.
Yes, comfortable topic. A lot of people don't want to talk about, but how can we be free if people don't tell their testimony? How can we be free if people don't know strategy?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And so with that being said, is there anything that you would like to tell the people? Any last remarks, anything that God is laying within your spirit?
I would say just try something different. I know being abstinent is like now. Like, now the norm is you hang out with somebody, you go on one date, you're having sex, you know? And so it's very different. It's abnormal. I get that. Try something different. Try going on some dates and weeding people out. Do a 60-day, 90-day trial. And just see, once you see for yourself the benefits and the changes that you feel in your body physically and the clarity that you have mentally, it's just life-changing. I love to talk about how, and I think we talked about this before, how the Bible talks about being sober. And for me, once I start having sex with someone, I am super drunk. I'm not making good judgment calls. I'm not paying attention to what you're doing, how you're treating me, like where your mindset really is, because I'm drunk in love at this point. Yeah. And so I really want you to try a 90-day trial, if you know, just to see how it feels, and just pray about it.
Yeah, it's so crazy when she said drunk in love. This song from Beyonce came up, and y'all know that, you know, that there. See, that's what I'm saying. When you listen to stuff you ain't got no business listening to in the past, or if some of y'all listen to it now, it bring up old stuff. You see what I'm saying? Like, even that song, she's speaking about being drunk in love. Like, do you not think that's demonic? Like, think about it. Like, that people are literally swimming in this mess because of being drunk in it. Like, sober-minded is not just talking about drinking. It's talking about so many different levels. And that's what happened when we read the Bible carnally. We just think, oh, it's talking about being sober and not drink. No, don't fornicate. Don't drink. Don't smoke. You know, certain things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, because when you're engaging in it too much, or engaging in it, period, you become lustful with it. Now you become drunk with it. Okay. So God wants us to be sober-minded in all areas of our life, all areas. I hope that makes sense.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Have the opportunity to make decisions based on your discernment, based on the Holy Spirit, based on a clear mind versus how somebody makes you feel. And we're so emotionally led. We're all of our decisions. I don't feel like doing that today, so I'm not going to do it.
Yep. I'm telling you, it's time to just get real with yourself. I think that's the best thing to do, is to get real with yourself. Start asking yourself those tough questions and asking God to give you the strategy versus you trying to give yourself the strategy. I learned that allowing God to lead me, it works out better for me. I remember, like you said, you'll wake up, say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. You got this huge list of what you're not going to do, and you turn around and do it anyway. Yeah. But when you say, okay, God, I've recognized my sin, I repent of it, I renounce it, now help me. guess what's going to happen? When that moment of temptation comes, he's going to remind you of the scriptures if you've been in your word. When that moment comes, he's going to remind you that you're stronger in him. You are strong, so you can get through this. But if you're not in your word, if you're not praying, if you're not going to church, if you're staying outside, you know, and just like, yeah, just, you know, I pick up my word when I need it. Guess what? When those temptations come, guess what you're going to go back to? The temptation. The thing that's giving you the fix. But one thing that God showed me, I had this thing for sugar, sweets, love candy, right? Mm-hmm. And it just got to a point where I went on it. It's called, this book is called like the 31-day sugar fast or 40-day sugar fast. I don't know, something like that. I decided to go on it. And I did not realize when stress started hitting my life, I wanted to go get candy. I wanted to go get all this sweet stuff and I wanted to watch a movie. And I was like, oh my God, when I'm stressed, I run to sugar. This is why I have so much taste for candy. And I was like, dang, I'm a stressed person. And I had to turn it over to God. You know, so the crazy thing now is even when I'm about to watch movies now, I want to go get candy, but I have no desire for it like that. I was just telling my daughter, I was like, you know what? I don't want candy the way that I used to. I just like, let me just read or watch something. Mm-hmm. There's a transition when you ask God and when you invite God into your situation. Yeah. So we both invited God to our situation and we're telling you and asking you to do the same thing. Try something new if you haven't tried it. Amen. Yeah. Tiffany, do you mind praying this out?
Sure.
All right.
Father God, we just thank you so much for us being able to have this conversation, Lord God. I thank you for the person that is listening to this, Lord God. I ask that things that were said today is imparted into their spirit, Lord God. I ask that they will seek your face like never before when it comes to the things that are keeping them in bondage, the things that are hindering them from getting their freedom, from getting to their next level, Lord God. We just ask that you will touch them right now, Lord. Prick their hearts, Lord God. Have them to search after you like never before, Lord God. And Lord God, we just come against the enemy. Right now, the enemy that has kept people held down, that has kept people in bondage, Lord God, that keeps telling people that you should be ashamed of yourself and you're unclean. Lord God, we thank you right now that they are made clean and whole in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God, I just thank you just even for my journey, Lord God. Even when I fell, Lord God, you told me to get back up and to keep fighting another day, Lord God. Remind your people, Lord, listening to this podcast right now, that they can get back up again, that this is not the end, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that they don't have to try to do everything on their own, but you want to help us. You want to help us, Lord God. You sent your Holy Spirit to partner with us, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God. And I pray right now that there are people that are delivered from the conversation that we had today. Lord God, even bless the host of this podcast. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. And again, make sure you all look into the description so that you can find out more about Tiffany to purchase her book. And with that being said, you all be blessed and I'll be on as the Lord leads. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Journey Journal. Again, I am your host, Zakiya Robinson. And if you would like mentor coaching, maybe you're ready to get your relationship right with God and you're ready to go through inner healing and deliverance, please look into the description so that you can sign up for your free consultation today.